Let us celebrate, yes, celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we also have to talk about Bethel's Jen Johnson talking about angels farting. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries, and I am excited because today is December 25th. And if you're listening to this show and you're, you know, with your family or you're maybe, you know, taking a break, you know, one good thing is if you're on the East Coast, this show starts at 3 a.m. for you guys. So if you're some of the early birds, as my family tends to be, and I'll give you a little rundown of what my family, when we celebrate the Lord's birth, what it looks like in our household, so you get a good idea. But if you're early birds listening to this early morning or later in the week or whatever, you know, praise God, we get to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And no matter what the cyber Sanhedrin say on the internet, we still get to celebrate it. And I love celebrating the birth of Jesus. And no, I'm not just going to pick out this date and be like, well, you know, this person did this, so I can only celebrate the ascension today. You know, I can only celebrate the incarnation or otherwise. I'm going to celebrate it today, and I'm going to lift it up with family, believers, non-believers alike, and I'm excited about that. And interestingly enough, I like I said, if you're on the East Coast right now, this episode airs at 3 a.m., I think, is the first start. So if you like to get up early and share that with your family, that's awesome. I know for me, one of the biggest blessings, and it's interesting I'm bringing this up because I've wanted to talk about just this part for a number of, I guess, weeks, years on the show now. We're almost like 2 years into these episodes, but something that I've always cared about is family, and I do believe that the American culture has ruined a lot of our understanding of what God wanted in the family unit and what he wants in the family unit, because so often, you know, these movies depict things like families, you know, the child who wants to finally get away from the rest of the family, the hardworking dad, all he did was work hard his whole life, so the son's going to work really hard in football and then get a scholarship, and then finally he can leave that small town and you know, find this stardom. And how many movies have been made about the girl that moved out to Hollywood? And typically what really happens, the truth of that, is if they don't get chewed up and spit out of Hollywood, a lot of times they just end up as waiters and waitresses and so forth out here locally. And I can say that as somebody who was a waiter both here locally and also on a cruise ship as well. And I'd say that most of the people that I worked with, that's probably an exaggeration, but a lot of the people I worked with thought they were going to be actors and so forth. And it is a profession that you would practice your acting skills on your different tables to help yourself make more money. And now I'll just tell you this, I have no condemnation towards waiters, none at all. I was a waiter for 2 years, but my first job as a waiter for 1 year, I literally was not saved almost to the date for the first 6 months of my job. And then I was saved for the last 6 months of my job while being a waiter. And I can just tell you this, I loved that job. I loved sharing with people. I loved meeting people. It was so much fun. But I will say this, serving people alcohol, seeing them get drunk, and knowing that my tips would be higher if I gave them more alcohol was something that convicted my heart, that even when I, after being saved and being sanctified, I said, I wasn't going to get people drunk anymore. I'm not saying that's what everybody's intentions are that is a waiter, but that is something that I was convicted on personally, I was convicted on that. But nonetheless, it is something that takes place, that the family unit is not something that is held in honor as it should be. And people think that getting it and achieving something is leaving your family behind and then only seeing them on holidays and things like that. And that's not the case for me. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much that I have both my family and my wife's family as well, Pastor Joe Schimmel, Lisa Schimmel as well. And I love that we get to be together, not only on holidays, but it's all the time. You know, I had COVID while it was my mom's birthday this month, and so I was unable to see her for 2 weeks. And that would have been pretty sad if I only see her a couple times a year. But the fact is that my mom lives right pretty close to Pastor Joe as well, my mom and dad too, and we are able to then go see them and see them all the time. It's not something that's not normative. I get to be with my family all the time, and it's a blessing. And so we do get to have Christmas. And I want to tell you guys a little story, story time with Chad here. I tend to be doing that a little more often, but when I was a newer believer, and when my wife and I were first courting, I don't want to say newer believer, I'd been saved almost 2 years, but I remember my family wanted me to do the prayer, and that's something that I typically always do on the Christmas dinner. And before I did the prayer, the first thing I did was read through the prophecies of Jesus and the fact that Jesus's birth was prophesied over and over and over again in the scriptures. And it probably took me 15 or 20 minutes before we ate. Now, I will say this, I'm a bull in a china shop, especially when I got saved, and not much has changed now. I just think that God has sanctified me through his spirit that I wouldn't be so bullish. But nonetheless, I am pretty bullish about truth. And I got to share that with my family, and I loved that. And Holly and I do the yo-yo thing typically on holidays, whether it's Resurrection Sunday or it's Thanksgiving. And so my wife and I, we typically wake up before the sun comes up because my parents really are early birds and her family's not so much, except for Joe. And so we go and do our thing with just our immediate family. We spend our time, we pray, we usually read from the Gospel of Luke, or I'll give a quick message to my kids, and then we go over to my family, and then we open presents with them and spend some time with my family, and usually head back over then to Joe's house, and then we usually have breakfast, and then that's typically when we'll read through the Gospel of Luke, the account of Jesus' birth. And then we usually sing a happy birthday to Jesus on his birthday as we open up presents. And it's a sweet time. It really is. It's always like an emotional thing. We're thinking, because you're contemplating not only Jesus coming to earth, like you're contemplating the fact that the God-man came, right? The Anthropos, the God-man. And it's something that overwhelms me when I think of his coming, his first coming, being specifically to die. Over and over again. We look at the text. Luke 19:10, at Zacchaeus' house, he says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." God gives us the purpose of why he came. Matthew 20:28, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." Remember, Jesus was telling them over and over, "I have to die." And it was them who said, "No, no, no, we don't want that to happen." Right? We want our Davidic kingdom now. We want it right now. In fact, it's so interesting, Tony. I wanted to talk about this on Sunday, but you know how notes go. And praise God. So I did teach until 10:45, but they were all, when I got home, like, "Hey, it's supposed to only be till 10:30. I'm like, "It's supposed to be till 10:45. And I almost got to teach longer because I didn't think John was showing up. So I was like, all right. So I had enough notes to probably teach 5 messages, because that's just how I write down my messages. But one thing I really wanted to talk about was Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, because there's something that takes place in Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration that when I first read it, it kind of just glossed over it. And I will add this. This is somewhat of conjecture. So I don't want to just put this out there and be like, this is dogma. You guys have to follow this. This is truth. But I read it, and you see Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, all this going on, Moses and Elijah, Jesus shining like the sun, right? And you're like, this is incredible. Let me make some tents, right? And so I'm thinking, like, Peter being Peter, and he puts his foot in his mouth quite a few times. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe what's going on there is that Peter's just so excited. He's like, let's have a tent and let's stay here. But I actually think there's something far more prophetic going on for our understanding. And I think that has to do with the Jews who would have recognized, including obviously Peter, if this theory is correct, Peter would recognize the institution that will take place, and the book of Zechariah, when it talks about them going back to the feasts and having the feast days in the end, in the millennium. And I believe that what was going on is that Peter was saying, "Jesus, let's have you here now. This is it." But as Matthew 20:28 says, The Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The first coming was specifically to deal with sin. And so while he wanted to institute these feasts again, it's not yet time. And so Jesus, very clearly, we see he had to die. And that's why he came. He came as a ransom for many. So when we look back and we read the story of Jesus' birth, when we read about the incarnation, we read about him being the Emmanuel, the God with us, we read about the prophecies about him, where he was going to be born, what would be happening, and so forth. We see them over and over and over again, and we see these prophecies. We see them fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All of those things should also be reminded of why he came. And when the Bible says specifically over and over and over again, why he came, why he came, why he came, we should pay attention to that. So when I think about Christmas, when I think about, I don't use that term. I know everyone gets the mass part, you know, and we don't want to be like Catholics who continue to kill Jesus every mass that they have. I want to talk about the birth of Jesus Christ, and that's what I glorify in. I think Christmas has become somewhat of a colloquial term. So when people say Merry Christmas, they're specifically talking about thanking God for, well, not non-believers, but believers when they say it. I don't believe they're being pagans or Catholic, but I believe that what they're doing is saying, hey, I'm cheerfully celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what we do. We love him. We cherish him. We look at the fact that he came, and when you look at the fact that he came, you have to look at the fact of why he came. And when the Bible says over and over again, why he came is the fact that he was going to die. In fact, this is what Paul says. He says, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. And I know that when I got saved, when I read that verse, that was probably the biggest struggle I had with any verse in scripture, was Paul thinking he was the chief of sinners and I thought I was, right? But Paul's testimony is a radical one, being there as they threw the garments at his feet as they stoned Stephen to death, and in the book of Acts. And it's just incredible. And, you know, I'm saying all these things because I was listening to and preparing for, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I have at Blessed Hope Chapel, I've been teaching and serving here at the church for just right about a decade, I think, that I started teaching my first messages to the youth group here. And it's been just wonderful to be able to share. And I had only ever done two services on Wednesday nights where I shared from the pulpit, but never a Sunday message. And so one of the interesting things is a lot of times, and I mentioned this on the last Sunday message that I was able to give, that we could be praying about something. Yeah, of course I wanted to share on the Lord's Day and offer up communion to the saints and everything, but it was never what I envisioned, right? It was never what I envisioned. I always envisioned that Joe would be busy on some TV station and Steve would ask me to teach on a Sunday, and I'd be able to teach on the Lord's Day, and there'd be all my brothers and sisters with me, and being able to proclaim the truth of the gospel, proclaim God's word, show forth mysteries in his word that he has revealed unto me and that I can reveal unto my brothers and sisters in Christ as we grow and edify one with another. And I've obviously, as somebody who loves teaching the word of God, and I've taught at other churches and other countries even and different places, my vision of those things looked a lot different than the culmination of that. And so being able to share the last two Sundays from the pulpit, from a pulpit that not only was the man who, being at this church and starting this church, God using him at this church, is the person that I came to Christ through, that God used his ministry, and I came to Christ through, they sold their souls to rock and roll, and then began being discipled by Pastor Joe Schimmel. Not only learning how to share the gospel with random people on the streets, but then learning theology, learning why it all matters, and studying these things. But then I would be able to deliver a message from that pulpit and share the things that I believe God's word says about Christ's first coming. And doing that on a Christmas day, on the Christmas message, was something that I'll never forget. And it was something that, hey, it's a little different. It's a little different than I expected, but guess what? It was beautiful, and I could not be more humbled at the fact that I've been able to share two different Sundays and also the last Wednesday message with our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. I mean, people from New Zealand, South Africa, a lot of people from Canada, which is, that's so awesome. A ton of people from Canada. Yeah, shout out to you guys up there. That's pretty awesome. Connecticut, Texas. I got so many texts ad nauseum from people just being so encouraging, and then from our own local body. And being able to share, though, these things, share the prophecy of Daniel, the 9th chapter, the prophecy of not only the temple that was going to be rebuilt, but also when it was going, that it was going to be destroyed, and also giving us the time in which sin would be dealt with the person of Jesus Christ, recognizing that he, the reason that he came is for that death. So when we celebrate his birth, we celebrate the incarnation, the God-man coming. You cannot celebrate that without his death. And so this is why I say this, guys, as brothers and sisters in Christ, when we have this day with our secular friends, when we have this day with our non-believing friends, to be able to say, Jesus came into the world, God became a man and came to this world, you have to accompany that with his death. Why did he come? And share that truth with your non-believing friends. Share that truth with your non-believing family. What greater gift that you could give than Jesus Christ? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. That is something that we can share with every single person, and it takes very little effort from you. I saw somebody saying, hey, we need to start a new trend. Look at the same amount, we could literally read the gospel and be done with the gospel of Luke by Christmas Eve and finish it at midnight maybe or something along those lines by reading a chapter a day, or I believe we might finish it on Christmas Day. I can't remember. I'd have to look at it, what the thing said. But I thought that was such a great idea. That's the gospel that's chronological. He literally says it in the very first verse. And you could go through the gospel of Luke before you even got to Christmas from December 1st. I think that's so cool that you could do that. These are things that we should add to our life. These are things that we should add to sharing, because guess what? When you continue to read of these accounts and continue to be reminded of the salvation that we have in Jesus and the fact that Jesus came, when you have all this, then guess what? It's so much easier to share with that family that you might be visiting. It's so much easier to share if you know what God's word actually says. And I think this is a great time to be able to share this. I would much rather share with people the truth of Jesus's birth than explain to them with bad historical records these pagan holidays, Sol Invictus, for example, when you don't even have the right date of when they celebrated it, and so forth. And so I will use it to share the gospel every single chance I get. And I had mentioned this on the Sunday message. I remember watching Tucker Carlson not long after he originally got his show. And he had Dan Barker, the apostate, the atheist, who has spoken here. And one of our elders actually was at college at Cal Lutheran, but don't think it's even Lutheran. Not that Luther was perfect, but don't even think it's Lutheran. It's pretty ugly over there. And he was at that college and they had him come and speak. And Dan Barker hates God. He just continues. I believe he's part of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. He might be the president, actually. And he went on to Tucker Carlson to say why Christmas shouldn't be celebrated, because it tells all people that they're sinners, that they're lawbreakers, and that God had to, that Christ had to die for them. And I'm like, man, praise God the cross is offensive. Thank you, Jesus, that the cross is offensive, because that's exactly what the scriptures say. The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The cross is foolishness. If the gospel message that you preach is not an ultimatum, I don't know what gospel message that you're preaching. When we talk about Jesus's birth, it is impossible to talk about his birth without talking about his death. So we share that truth. We share the fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross. We share the fact that God became a man to die on a cross. It's hard to say one without the other. But we share with them also that promise of the tetelestai, the promise of the paying and the payment that was made in full, the finished work that Christ did on the cross, that we could have him and know him. And so I think about all these things. And, you know, if you're someone who's like, hey, I got people that are going to want hardcore evidence, I encourage you to check out our article, the 70 Weeks of Daniel. But I think it just mentions on the 60, first 69. But I encourage you guys to check that article out, because you could get the entire argumentation down within 3 minutes and have it ready to share with your family members when you're having dinner at their house, or maybe you're just having a Zoom call, you know. Take aside time, say, you know what, do you mind Aunt May? Do you mind Grandma Sally? Do you mind Grandpa Paul? I don't know. Do you mind if I just share something that's on my heart and share with them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We're sitting here celebrating Christmas as a family. Why don't we talk about why we can celebrate Christmas? The only reason we can have a merry and happy Jesus's birthday is because he fulfilled the requirement, is because he died that death on a cross, is because he came to seek and save that which is lost, and he did. He did it. That's our Savior. He never fails. He's so awesome. And it's so cool to brag about my Jesus. And it's a great time to be able to do that. So with all of that, I think I mentioned in the beginning, I told Tony, I said, we were going back and forth on what should we call this episode? Celebrating Jesus's birth and exposing Bethel's so-called angels farting. I know that sounds like that's a mouthful there. And it sounds like some beauty and nonsense all wrapped into one. And the fact is that's exactly what's going on here. And it's interesting because the video, I had seen it. I'd even had Brother Rob McKinley up there from Fresno sent it to me. And I think I was on Sunday on the Lord's Day when I gave the message. I think he texted me not too long after with that. Hey, I don't know, you guys are always doing stuff, but check this out. And I'm like, yeah, I saw it. And it's so interesting because I must have just glossed over it looking for the genie quote, because she calls the Holy Spirit a genie, Jen Johnson from Bethel. By the way, a lot of the music that you listen to has to do with what their Bethel music group, and her and her husband run that, by the way, sadly. And she has said a number of times that she views the Holy Spirit like the genie from Aladdin. I mean, just absolutely, just no piety, no looking at the Lord in all his grandeur and recognizing how powerful he is, recognizing when, think about this, John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but one day Jesus will come, right? And he will baptize you with fire, right? He came as a tongue of fire in Acts chapter 2. This is the Holy Spirit. He's no joke. And when you lie to him, you die. Look at it. You can, very specifically, Ananias and Sapphira. You lied to God, you can die. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. And I believe it grieves the Holy Spirit to say such things as he's like the genie from Aladdin, because I can tell you, as somebody who is a non-believer, who did not believe in God, one of the most dangerous things that I believed that eventually turned me into an atheist was the idolatrous view of God, that he's like a cosmological butler, or a genie, if you will, that he's going to grant me certain wishes. And it's so dangerous to believe that sort of view of God and have that low of a view of God that you would say some of the stuff that she would say. But God is not the only one who gets punched in the face with her comedy, so to speak. And I don't even think God gets punched in the face. I think it's a black eye to the body of Christ, because this is what people think Christianity is. They look at Joel Osteen, they look at Bethel Church, they look at Sean Foyt, they look at all of these people, the Kenneth Copelands of the world, the Benny Hinns, and it's a mockery. They mock. The Bible says that if we are to have the name Christian given to us, if somebody is to call us a Christian, a follower of Christ, that we should glorify God in that name, and that, guess what, we shouldn't be maligned for doing wickedness, but that for doing righteousness. But this is what happens, is they make a mockery when they have their healing rooms and they shut them down during COVID-19. Just think about that. Do you realize how many articles in the secular field went out to mock Jesus Christ for these fake healers, these snake oil salesmen? It's really heartbreaking. And guys, I don't say these terms lightly. I don't throw those around. There's plenty of people that I disagree with that theologically, that I wouldn't call people snake oil salesmen because I disagree with them theologically. But when I see the wickedness that is going on here at Bethel, which is not that far here in California, the hindrance of the gospel, it breaks my heart We didn't spend five episodes. I didn't spend now well over. It was 27 hours when we recorded. 27 hours of listening to Bill and Jen and Benny and so forth. And Bill Johnson's son as well. Over and over, just teaching after teaching, making sure that nobody could come to us and say, you guys just don't understand them. They really have good teaching. That's just taken out of context. I want to show you the context. I want to talk about what she says here, and then I want to talk about what Scripture says. So, Tony, let's play the clip.
And I thought of those angels circling that throne, and I thought, I bet they text each other. I bet they have farting contests. That is black. I don't... Get her off the stage. That is irreverent. It turned white, just so you know, as a thought. God's a heck of a lot more fun than we think he is.
You know, it's really interesting. When I mentioned some of the men of God that I've grown in the faith through and God has used in a powerful way, I would say that every single one of those guys has a robust sense of humor. Pretty funny guys. If you guys know Pastor Joe at all personally, you know that unless he's talking about the Bible, he's probably not being very serious. All right. And I have the same problem. Especially all the guys who've grown up in the youth group, they all know that. It's an ongoing thing. Plus, my wife has to hear the same jokes over and over and over again. None of them at the expense of God. None of them even at the expense of angels. In fact, when I was preparing for my Christmas message, one of the things I did is I listened to Pastor Joe's last three messages on Christmas because I did not want to copycat something that I had subconsciously learned from him. And one of the things that he mentioned was when he was a newer believer and he would talk about the angel Moroni, which is a demon, I believe, when it comes to the Mormon church, the Jesus Christ Church of Latter-day Saints, and all of those things. The word church should not be accompanied by there, but I'm just giving you what they call themselves, and I do not believe they're Latter-day or saints. But neither here nor there. But he said he used to call it the angel Moron. He said, but you know what? When I read Jude 1:9, it said, but the archangel Michael, when he disputed with the devil, argued about the body of Moses, he did not pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said rather, the Lord rebuke you. And he said he was convicted in his heart not to say something like that against even a fallen angel, let alone for us to joke about with irreverence in some way like this towards the angels of God in the throne room of God as if they're having farting contests. Guys, this is beyond irreverence. And one of the things that she does there, she has a sheet of paper that's just black. And then she throws it down. I don't know if you heard, that's black, that's black. Get her off the stage. The first statement made from Bethel that I can wholeheartedly agree with, get her off the stage. She probably should have listened to that. That might have been a move of the Spirit right there. But she drops this black piece of paper saying, that's black, that's dark. And then it falls on the ground white. And then she says, God's a lot more funny than we think he is, right? Guys, we can laugh. We have a good time. Laughter is good for the bones. We cannot do that at the expense of God. We cannot do it with that sort of irreverence. We cannot even make up a railing accusation or talk about angels if they're giving flatulence. I mean, this is disgusting, guys. We're talking about fecal matter. I mean, let's get down to it. It's heartbreaking. Let's go and let's proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let's be ready, guys, to expose this wickedness so that when it comes to you at the dinner table, when it comes to you at your work, when it comes to you at your office, you're ready to answer it, but also point them back to the one and true Jesus. God bless you. And Mary, Jesus' birth.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 5:11 News.